Welcome to Gospel Tangents Podcast. I'm Rick Bennett. Yesterday was President Monson's funeral, and when an LDS president dies, the first presidency is dissolved. Have you ever wondered why that is the case? Historian John Hamer and Apostle Lachlan Mackay of the Community of Christ will talk about why that happens in the LDS Church. It's a really interesting conversation. We'll also talk about some of the other leaders who wanted to take over leadership of the LDS Church in the early days. There's a lot more people than you may recognize. Check out our conversation. Before you do that, I just wanted to mention, please give us a 5-star review on iTunes so that more people can find us. Also, please share our episodes on Facebook so that more people can find out about us. We'd also love to help advertise your business here on Gospel Tangents. So if you're interested in that, please send me an email at gospeltangents@gmail.com and we'll promote your business as well as ours. Now back to our conversation. We talked a lot about Hedrickites and Stringites and Josephites and Brighamites. John, this is kind of one of your special areas. I know yesterday in your presentation at Sunstone, you kind of gave a brief overview, and I was looking at your slide, and do you think I could put that?
Yeah, of course,
in?
Yeah.
That would be awesome. So looking at your slide, you had 9 people in there who claimed leadership of the church. Can you talk about who those 9 people were?
Well, it was a visual. It should not be meant to be a definitive list or something like that, because some of the people on that list aren't actually claiming. So what the claims are different in each individual case. But essentially what I said was when Joseph Jr. is assassinated, he is also killed along with him is Hiram. So Hiram has this kind of anomalous role of being, he's in the first presidency, but he's also assistant president of the church or vice president. I mean, he has this extra role in the church. If he hadn't died, I think everybody pretty clearly would have understood that Hiram would have been the successor to Joseph Smith, but he dies as well. And so then there is kind of that leaves the question open precisely who the successor should be. And so one of the last acts that Joseph Smith had before going to Carthage is he gave another one of these special blessings to Joseph III. And there have been several of these where it had been prophesied that at one point or other he would be in his father's role and be a prophet. But he was, what, he was 11?
11.
He's 11. So, okay, you know, it wasn't going to be the successor at that point. What I argue, I think that the person who had the best claim at that point in terms of both civil and canon, which is to say church rules and law, is Sidney Rigdon, who, even though he's been whatever a little bit on the outs, but he's still actively campaigning as the vice presidential candidate in Joseph Smith's U.S. presidential election. So Joseph Smith and Sidney Rigdon, and so that Sidney Rigdon is the only guy left in the first presidency. And so even though in the LDS tradition, there is this idea that the first presidency dissolves and then the senior most apostle always succeeds, the only reason that that is the idea is because they didn't want to have Sidney Rigdon be in charge. You know, I mean, it doesn't say that in the Doctrine and Covenants or anything like that. So there's no canonical, there's no canon law thing that says anything of the kind. That is, and the first presidency had been a completely distinct thing in the early church tradition from the 12.
Nothing that says it dissolves.
And there's nothing that says it dissolves, and it's also not like that the first presidency is just 3 more of the 12 or something like that. It's a completely distinct thing. And so, anyway, so what I'd say is that Sidney Rigdon is the last surviving member of the first presidency, and then according to the actual incorporation, so we're talking about like you know, like the church's possession, William Marx had signed it back over to Joseph Smith on behalf of the church. The church is incorporated in the state of Illinois, and part of that incorporation in the documents in Carthage, it says, you know, held by Joseph Smith as trustee and trust for the church and my successors in the first presidency. And so because of that, because when Brigham Young does take over, there is no, he doesn't create a new first presidency, right? The 12 just take over the headquarters. And one of the reasons why he's not able to get title to these temples is because James Strang knows about that, because he's got a lot of these guys in his group who have been central members. They know this incorporation ruling. This is really complicated details, but anyway, the part of the idea of it is that he charges that since he is the successor in the first presidency, he's organized a new first presidency. This doesn't happen in Brigham Young's church until 1847. And so he's operating that way with the first presidency. And so he says, you don't have a first presidency. I have title to the Nauvoo Temple. You're trying to sell my temple.
James Strang created the first presidency and said that should be the successor?
He did that. He did that at that point. But before that, anyway, so I got to dial it back. The person who was in the surviving member of the first presidency then is Sidney Rigdon. So Sidney Rigdon, though, gets outmaneuvered, as we know, in this showdown between Brigham Young and Sidney Rigdon. And he takes his, he gets kicked out of Nauvoo and or flees for his life. And he goes back and reorganizes and creates a new headquarters of the church in Pittsburgh. But at that point, he suffers one of these things that all kinds of schismatic Mormon Latter-day Saint Heritage churches do, which is then they start asking themselves, okay, well, where did we go wrong? So obviously, something's gone wrong here that we've had to, where we went on the wrong path, you know, where we started doing polygamy, where we started, where we changed the name of the church, where we took up arms and marched to Missouri. And so they start to peel back the onion, and this is what happens with Sidney Rigdon's movement. And so they over time, they go back to the earlier name of the church. It's ultimately called the Church of Christ again. And he just keeps purging things back, and he just pisses people off at a certain point, and all the people around him are finding his organization unstable. And so it more or less atomizes within 2 years. And so that was the main potential rival, but it didn't happen. Another rival to Brigham Young then, so Brigham Young is president of the Traveling High Council of 12 Apostles who are in charge of the church's missionary work. The person who's in charge of the presiding or standing high council of the church in Nauvoo, church headquarters, is William Marks. So they are in some ways heads of the two different councils that are up over the church jurisdictions. So the 12, oversee everything that's going on in a branch where there's no stake. But wherever there are organized stakes, they're not in charge of it. And instead, the stake presidency does, is in charge of anything that's going on within that stake. And then if you've had a trial or something like that from a local stake presidency, that can appeal then to the headquarters stake or the presiding or standing high council. Anyway, so then William Marks is one of these potential rivals, but he says the person who is the successor should be Sidney Rigdon by rights. So he kind of takes himself out of the running that way.
Okay, so as state president, you're saying that he was a potential lead, but
it's not just stake president. So Brigham Young, in creating a bazillion stakes out in Utah, makes high councils and stakes a much smaller thing, and so it doesn't even make it any sense in the LDS. Thought process, I think, because I don't think there is a standing high council. They got rid of that. It's something that we have in our headquarters, right?
The standing high council, let's talk about that a little bit. So you've got 12 apostles, and then you've got 12 essentially high counselors that are on equal levels. Is that right?
They're equal.
What?
They're equal,
yeah,
initially.
Equal. Yeah, yeah.
With different areas of authority, as John said. Stake.
Yeah, because in the LDS church, it's the first presidency, the apostles, the 70s, and then the stake presidents. But in the early days of Nauvoo, what you're saying is the apostles, the Council of 12, were in charge of missionary work, and the standing high council was in charge of anywhere there were stakes.
Yeah, and headquarters, yeah.
And that's even Kirtland, and so it's horizontal, and it's the first presidency, the traveling high council, the standing high council, the seven presidents of 70, all equal in authority.
Oh, because the 70 has essentially been demoted under Brigham Young then.
Right. So. And even in the original, and so there's the difference between that, so that's cannot canon law, right? So that's what the DNC says. But then there's also de facto, which is to say, how is it actually functioning? And so what I've argued when I've done the research in this, so even though they're de facto all the same, obviously the first presidency de facto is, generally speaking, in charge, and so it gets to the top of the org chart. What I would say is that in the Missouri period, in the far west, that functionally the high council is then the next one. That was what I'd say, this is the standing high council, because it has control of the purse strings. When the first presidency want to have something funded, they go to the high council as kind of like their legislatures, like going and passing things through parliament, and essentially parliament approves and then they do things. So the high council has a kind of an extraordinary amount of power more so even, I'd say, than 12 in de facto in Missouri. And so that even one of the things that we do in the when we're telling the Mormon history narrative, Brigham Young emerges kind of in the Missouri period because they arrest all the important leaders, and he's the most important person that didn't get arrested. And so then he leads the people, it's often told, out of Missouri back to Illinois. But when he does that, he doesn't do that as president of the 12. He has become the senior most member of the 12 because of Thomas Marsh has left the church and David W. Patton has gotten killed in the Battle of Crooked River. And so then he emerges as the senior most apostle. But in order to take control of the church, what he actually does is become acting president of the High Council. And so he convenes the High Council. He's the acting president of the High Council. He sees that as the leadership body in Missouri. And then the High Council actually replaces vacancies in the 12. And so that actually then is, you know, kind of de facto saying that in Missouri, maybe the High Council had assumed a leadership, you know, like a position above where the 12 was. Now, when you get to Nauvoo, that's changed. So that the power of the High Council atrophies in a de facto sense in Nauvoo. It's doing less and less and less important things. It's hearing appeals from stakes. Like Locke says, at a certain point, they dissolve a lot of the stakes outside of Nauvoo anyway, because of, for various reasons. And so then, and they're just not as active anymore because now there's also a city council that has taken over a lot of these things. So the High Council does less and less. Meanwhile, over the course of the Nauvoo period, the 12 are doing more and more and more things. And so as a result of that, when we get to the 1844, in a de facto sense, it has gone the other way. The 12 probably are, you know, in ascendant and are way more important than what the High Council has been. But in a canonical sense, they're equal.
Okay. So it's kind of confusing because you've got members who are apostles and members who are on the High Council, and they're the same people. Is that right? Because Brigham was an apostle, and Brigham was also on the High Council.
Well, I'm saying when everybody got arrested, including a lot of the High Councilors, including Joseph Smith, they're all arrested for treason at the end of the Missouri Mormon War. Then Brigham Young was acting president of the High Council. I don't think that he continued to sit on the standing High Council.
So they're not usually the same people,
but because of the leadership.
It was a crisis.
Okay. Something that illustrates the point that John's making in a really clear way are the Kirtland Temple pulpits.
Yeah.
Who are their seats for? The High Council has seats. The traveling High Council does not. Because they're not supposed to be there.
Yeah, if you see those pulpits that are describing, you know, like the whole church's hierarchy, and you see deacons, teachers, priests, elders, bishops, you know, High Council, First Presidency, where's apostles? You know, so they aren't, I mean, it doesn't make any sense at all from a modern LDS perspective.
Yeah, definitely. So that's interesting.
I hope you enjoyed our conversation with John and Locke. As many of you know, in the early days of the church, people spoke in tongues and had many gifts of the Spirit. John Hamer talks about a meeting in which he attended where some of the people carried on very many of these charismatic gifts.
I went to a regional conference and it was amazing. I don't remember, but nobody actually spoke in tongues during it, but it was the liveliest Latter-day Saint tradition service I have ever been to. Some tradition churches are kind of notoriously boring, you know, within the tradition. But won't point fingers. But anyway, but this was the opposite of that.
Thank you so much for listening. Make sure that you like our page on facebook.com/gospeltangents. You can subscribe at YouTube at youtube.com/gospeltangents. We're also on Twitter @gospeltangents, as well as make sure that you subscribe on iTunes so you don't miss any of our episodes. Thanks again for listening. Click here to subscribe, here for a transcript, and over here you'll see some more of our videos. Thanks again.